节目，两位嘉宾发表的都是他们个人看法，不代表美国之音。好，我是许波，我们下次节目再会。
公司表示将在几天内向 FDA 申请疫苗紧急使用授权。特朗普阵营与宾州、威州再提新法律诉讼。美国军舰在夏威夷成功试射拦截洲际弹道导弹。
11月19号星期四，欢迎收看美国观察，我是卡拉。辉瑞公司表示将在几天内向美国食品药品管理局 FDA 申请疫苗紧急使用授权，并且预计在2020年底前生产出5000万剂，2021年全年可以提供13亿剂。此外，随着完整的试验数据出炉，辉瑞公司表示疫苗的有效性证实为 95%。 目前美国新冠确诊病例超过1100万，全国多地采取措施对抗病毒的传播。纽约市新冠病毒检测阳性比率的7日均值超过3%的门槛。市长白思豪周三宣布，纽约公立学校将从周四起暂时关闭，以应对第二波新冠病毒的高峰期。俄亥俄州共和党籍的联邦参议员罗布·波特曼星期二宣布，他正在参加美国强生公司研制的新冠病毒疫苗的第三期实验。波特曼说，他希望帮助增强公众对疫苗的信心。包括这位64岁的议员在内的10000名志愿者参加了这项双盲实验，或者接种疫苗，或者接种安慰剂。波特曼同意观察自己的生命体征，并每天记录自己的健康情况。目前有关新冠疫苗的试验数据令人乐观，但最近的一项盖洛普民调发现，一半的美国人不打算接种疫苗。特朗普竞选阵营在宾夕法尼亚州和威斯康星州提出新的法律诉讼，同时特朗普总统还解雇了美国负责网络安全的官员。下面请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍详情。耀毅。
是的，星期三的时候，特朗普的竞选阵营呢将300万美金汇到他们位于威斯康星州的这个分部，那是要作为他们法律诉讼的经费使用。那么特朗普竞选阵营呢并没有要求威斯康星州全州的重新计票，而是针对两个郡，也就是密尔沃基郡以及丹恩郡，要进行这两个郡的重新计票。那么威州的选举委员会呢在中午证实了已经收到特朗普竞选团队的申请。那么根据威州的竞选委员会的数据显示呢，特朗普他在这个密尔沃基郡获得了134000多票，而拜登获得了超过317200多票。那拜登在丹恩郡是获得了26万多票，特朗普获得了78800多票。那威斯康星州呢，在本周才刚刚完成了他们的选票比对跟审核工作。那么审核的结果出来之后呢，特朗普比之前多了13票，而拜登比之前多出了将近50票。同时呢，在星期二下午，宾州的最高法院驳回了特朗普阵营的之前一项法律诉讼。该诉讼案说，这个共和党的监票员无法在开票所做出有意义的监票，而最高法院呢，则是认定这项指控不成立。那特朗普的个人律师呢，前纽约市长朱莉安妮也在星期二就前往了宾州，在联邦法院当中递交了一个新的诉讼案，要来阻止宾州认证选举结果。那么承办此案的法官布兰恩呢，他在听取了朱莉安妮将近4个小时的听证之后，朱莉安妮这个法官询问朱莉安妮呢是否是要控诉选举舞弊。那朱莉安妮则回应说并不是，但是回答是呢是针对舞弊的程序。法官回应呢那就是要控诉选举舞弊，并且呢就要求这个控方要提出证据。不过呢朱莉安妮在星期二并没有当场提供，于是法官要求特朗普阵营在星期三的下午5点之前必须提出切切的证据，不然就得撤销诉讼案。此外呢，原本属于特朗普在宾州诉讼团队的律 师琳达·肯恩斯突然宣布退出团队，不过他并没有说明退出的原因。此外呢，刚才最新的消息是宾州的最高法院宣布，他说呢将会来聆听特朗普竞选阵营所提出的针对好几千个邮寄选票当中呢有可能有问题或者是信封上有一些有状况这样子的一个案子，那这个可能会进入宾州的最高法院做听证。此外呢，特朗普总统在11月17号星期二在推特上也宣布解雇了国土安全部底下的网络安全与基础建设局的局长克里斯·克雷布斯，原因是呢克雷布斯最近有关于选举安全的声明。克雷布斯在过去一周以来一再的驳斥选民舞弊的指称，他说呢就选举系统被操作的指称而言，有59位的选举安全专家一致认为，在我们知道的每一起案件当中，这些声称要么是没有事实根据，要么是在技术上表达不清。那特朗普总统在解雇这个克雷布斯的声明的推文当中说呢，他的这个克雷布斯的声明是高度失真，并且指称说有大规模不当的诈欺。那特朗普推文呢也被推特给加上了有争议的标签。那么更多的美国选举的新闻呢，我们接下来来看一下美国之音记者陈真的报道，张真的报道。
拜登星期二在特拉华州威尔明顿市听取了顾问团所做的国家安全简报。这个顾问团由曾经在历届政府任职的外交、情报和国防等领域的专家组成。拜登在简报会上表示，他将在就任后扭转美国的外交政策走向。
My basic message: America's back, and it's no longer America alone.
拜登在竞选期间承诺，一旦当选，他的内阁人选将充分体现美国的多元。分析人士认为，目前看来，下届参议院仍有可能由共和党掌控多数，拜登的重要人事任命会因此受到国会掣肘。与此同时，特朗普总统的法律团队继续在宾夕法尼亚州等地试图通过法律手段改变选举结果。美国预计的副总统当选人卡马拉·哈里斯星期二返回参议院参加投票。他谈到了目前权力交接状况。
I think that we want to make sure that we are all focused on the priorities of the moment on the day, which includes addressing one of the major crises that we have faced as a country, which is COVID and everything that has resulted from it.
在国会大厦西侧，工人已经开始搭建用于总统就职仪式的平台。下一届总统宣誓就职典礼将在明年1月20日举行。美国之音电视报道。
好的，以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。美国星期二实施了一次军方所说的里程碑式的导弹拦截试验，在打造多层次导弹防御系统的努力中取得重大进展。
该实验于11月16日进行，涉及配备宙斯盾弹道导弹防御系统的驱逐舰是约翰·芬恩号。海军中将、导弹防御局局长乔恩·希尔说，我们已经证明装备有 SM-3 Block IIA 导弹的配备宙斯盾 BMD 的战舰可以拦截洲际弹道导弹及目标。标准导弹三型由雷神公司和日本三菱重工共同投资开发。雷神公司在一份声明中说，洲际弹道导弹在地球大气层之外被拦截摧毁。希尔说，该试验可增强陆基中段防御 GMD 系统，包括雷达、反弹道导弹和其他旨在保护美国免受洲际弹道导弹攻击的设备。他说，国防部正在研究通过部署额外的传感器和武器系统来应对意料之外的导弹威胁，从而增强 GMD 系统。美国之音新闻报道。
美国司法部星期三表示，华裔工程师孙伟被亚利桑那州地区法院判处38个月监禁。孙伟之前承认了一项违反武器出口管制法案的重罪指控。 49岁的孙伟是在中国出生的规划美国公民，曾在雷神导弹和国防部门担任电气工程师。雷神公司开发和生产供美国军方使用的导弹系统。孙伟2018年12月至2019年1月期间，从美国前往中国进行私人旅行，随身携带了存储大量机密数据的公司电脑。孙伟2020年2月被捕，他被控在未经出口许可的情况下，有意违反相关禁令及培训要求，将上述信息出口到中国。对于美国中西部的制造业大州来说，振兴制造业是他们关注的话题。俄亥俄州克利夫兰的一家摩托车制造商在与中国合作的过程中饱受知识产权侵犯的困扰，于是他们决定回到俄亥俄生产最新的电动摩托车。来看报道。
We've suffered from 11 years of our IP being stolen. All of our vehicles are made there, and all of a sudden we're making our product in one factory, and guess what? 3 blocks away, they start making the same deal. And we even have people steal our photos and put them on Alibaba and try to sell our own product.
Is it possible for a lawsuit you can pursue in China?
So we've protected all of our designs with patents, and we went to court twice. As an experiment just to see, and we won, right? So we won the lawsuit, and the other manufacturer had to stop selling. They make a slight little change, and we go back to court, and guess what? It's not the same product anymore. They're okay to sell it. With or without the tariffs, we would have moved our manufacturing for our electric bikes back to the U.S. anyways. So access to capital is needed. Some real subsidies are needed. And real substantial support is going to be needed to continue to grow the U.S. economy. If we could find a factory that's been doing brakes for 60 years, there's a pretty good chance that they're doing okay. And if that supplier happens to be in Germany, Italy, or China, we have to go there to find that expertise. And I think that's where the U.S. is. And isn't that where we want to be as a society, really pushing jobs that are skilled and jobs that are going to bring home a paycheck that can actually support a family? Of course, I support bringing all of this back to the U.S., but I think where the U.S. is really going to shine is what I would call highly automated and low tooling, new processes for manufacturing. So, this term Industry 4.0, this kind of high-tech manufacturing, I think that's where the U.S. is really going to start to ramp.
辉瑞公司表示，该公司的新冠疫苗有效性为95%。本周同样传出好消息的还有制药商莫德纳。专家表示，目前已经看到战胜疫情的曙光，但是终结新冠病毒依然任重而道远。来看美国之音记者鲍荣和玉刚的报道。
美国制药公司 Moderna 本周一宣布，其新冠疫苗的第三期临床试验早期分析显示，有效性高达94.5%。和上周同样传出好消息的辉瑞公司还有 BioNTech 公司共同研制的疫苗比起来， Moderna 的疫苗具有储存还有运输上的明显优势，可以在2至8摄氏度的温度下保存30天。相比之下，辉瑞还有 BioNTech 的疫苗要长期保存的话，则需要-70度的超低温。
I think that in terms of the sort of shipping and handling story, there is a big difference. You're right. You know, the fact that you have to ship and store the Pfizer vaccine at -70°C, which means dry ice, which is really hard to do. We've never done that before in the United States. Also, when you then thaw the vaccine out and put it in the refrigerator, it only has a 24-hour life in the refrigerator before it has to be thrown out. And it's concentrated. So there's 10-dose vials, 5-dose vials, and it's concentrated. So that you have to reconstitute it. Once you reconstitute it, you only have 6 hours before you have to throw it out. So it does make it a more difficult vaccine to use. That said, we don't have enough vaccine in this country to give to all the people who need it. So you need at least both those vaccines and probably more vaccines that are on the way.
尽管辉瑞还有 BioNTech 的疫苗对低温储存的要求严苛，但是这并不代表着该疫苗因此失去了意义。要尽快遏制新冠疫情，不同的地区和群体很可能需要依靠不同的疫苗，这意味着疫苗的解决方案不止一种。
They're both going to be really important. I mean, what people are saying is, you know, look, we've got a planet of 7 billion people. We need every single tool at our disposal. You might, and I think a lot is going to depend on how these things are rolled out and where. There are things that we don't know yet about these two vaccines, about where, what groups of people it's most useful in. And I think that's going to determine how you want to use each of these two vaccines. You know, if for some reason the Pfizer vaccine works better than the Moderna vaccine in the elderly, for example, we don't know that, but if it were, then you'd want to make every effort to get that Pfizer vaccine out to elderly people, even if it meant you know, taking the extra steps for the special equipment. That said, I could also see a situation where if they're both more or less equally good, you just, you know, you take the Pfizer vaccine and you distribute it in places that have the equipment that you need, and you take the Moderna vaccine and you distribute it to the places that don't have the special equipment. You know, this just allows you to get a farther reach with the Moderna vaccine if you can concentrate the Pfizer vaccine in a place that has the equipment that you need.
另一方面，尽管新冠疫苗捷报频传，但是整体的前景尚不明朗。比如说，接受了疫苗注射之后，人体免疫能够维持多久，以及在特殊群体中效果如何。Moderna 还有辉瑞都还没有明确的数据。
That's another of the big scientific unknowns. Is what level of immunity do these vaccines confer? And for how long?And is it going to be necessary to get vaccinated? Let's say in the first round, you have 2 doses. Does that last for 1 year? Does that last for an eternity? Does it last for 3 to 5 years? We don't know. So we have to live with that uncertainty. We also have not really had field trials with children, and that we're going to have to hustle to fill that scientific gap to understand how...This works with children.
此外，即便疫苗能够保证有效性还有安全性，并且及时运输到世界各地，要达到终止新冠疫情的目标，国际社会仍然面临巨大的挑战，比如社会经济上的不平等以及反疫苗运动等等。
Well, we have uncertainty in our population in terms of vaccine rejection or vaccine hesitancy. In other words, a certain portion of our population.Are likely to simply refuse vaccines as a matter of course, as a matter of principle. Then we have a large portion of our population that are going to deliberate and think about whether they feel this is safe and effective and do they want to take this on. And in our current environment, what we've seen is a precipitous drop in public trust and confidence in science and in vaccines and in public health authorities in America, to such a degree that 50% of our population is saying that it really will not accept a safe and effective vaccine when it is put on offer. So we have to, if that is true, and if that continues to be true, that's going to create an enormous blockade on getting 70% of Americans vaccinated twice.
截止到美东时间11月18日，全球新冠病例总数达到5500万，全美病例数超过1100万。与此同时，辉瑞公司表示说，将在几天内向 FDA 申请批准疫苗。在疫苗全面普及以及疫情结束之前，公众仍需遵守社交距离、外出戴口罩、勤洗手等基本防疫的规定。
美国国务院政策规划办公室星期二发表了有关中国挑战的研究报告。报告说，中共已经开启了一个大国竞争的新时代，然而很少有人能明辨中国在世界每个地区的渗透模式。来看报道。
这份名为《中国挑战》的方方面面的报告，把中共政权定性为一个以20世纪马克思列宁主义专政为模式，由一个威权政权来管制的大国。参与撰写这份报告的美国国务院的一位高级官员告诉美国之音，报告的重点在于说明中共的野心是全球性的，对美国构成的挑战是严峻的。报告说，中国共产党不仅着眼于在既定的世界秩序中占主导地位，这种秩序植根于自由和主权的民族国家，源于美国建国所依赖的普世原则，并推动美国的国家利益，而是从根本上修订世界秩序，把中华人民共和国置于中心地位，为北京的威权目标和霸权野心服务。根据这份报告，中国行为的主要组成部分是维护马克思列宁主义专政，利用本国的财富使其他国家对它产生经济依赖和政治从属关系，并根据中共的标准和目标在国际组织内部重新定位其方向，以及发展世界一流的军事力量。他说，从整体上看，这些行为显示出一个大国将国际秩序的转变视为其主导世界事务的计划的关键。报告说，尽管中国共产党对中国公民实行专制统治，并且对世界各地的自由构成威胁，但在中国共产党的领导下，中国仍然存在各种脆弱性，包括专制所特有的劣势，如对创新的限制、组建和维持联盟的困难，以及内部镇压所带来的成本。国际社会在新冠病毒大流行之后，对中国共产党的愤怒日益高涨。这份报告认为，应对中国的挑战要求美国回归根本。报告说，为了保障自由，美国必须重新制定其外交政策，包括维护宪政、保障国内的自由、维持世界上最强大的军队、加强与盟友合作、强化自由、开放和以规则为基础的国际秩序、重新评估其联盟体系和各种国际组织、加强联盟体系并创建新的国际组织以促进民主和人权、在公平对等的原则下与北京合作来促进美国的利益、让美国人了解中国构成的挑战、培养新一代公务员以及懂中国的公共政策专家、改革美国的教育体系，帮助学生了解公民责任、通过榜样、言论、公共外交、外援和投资、甚至制裁乃至军事力量等方式捍卫自由的原则。国务院在美国下届总统1月20日就职之前发表了这份报告。这位高级官员强调，这只是一份有关中国的研究报告，而不是一份政策文件，并不是要为下一届政府的对华政策定调。美国之音新闻报道。
在当前疫情大流行的时期，什么是户外运动、社交又保障安全的好方法呢？美国之音记者沃尔夫从佛罗里达发来报道。
三月份席卷全球的新冠病毒大流行影响了人们生活的方方面面，但是在混乱之中，佛罗里达州的劳德戴尔堡国际游艇展成功地保持了发展。
It's been one of the most important boat shows for Azimut Yachts for many years, so it did feel like we had to be here considering it was going on.
劳德戴尔堡的码头延绵10多公里，今年并非所有泊位都被占领，但销售活跃。格雷格·希尔福和布伦特·德塞利尔正在他们29米长的新游艇上迎接潜在的买家。
Welcome aboard. Let's take a look.
四间卧室，一间客厅，一间餐厅。销售商确信他们可以轻松找到这艘$800万的游艇的买家。
I think a lot of people are coming together and saying, you know, my friend died and I've been looking at boats for a number of years and what am I waiting for? So actually we're going to have a record here.
虽然数百万美元的游艇超出了大多数顾客的能力范围，但是几千美元的小游艇还是可以消费得起的，这是休闲娱乐和保持社交距离的理想方式。
Compared to the Mercedes and the BMWs, this is your Toyota. That boat was specifically made, even these two, for the average working middle class family. So it won't break the bank and gives a chance for everybody to own a boat.
过去游艇展每年至少吸引10万人，每年带来超过$10亿的销售额。今年美国国家海洋制造商协会表示，他们在5月和6月创下了游艇销售记录，这里的人也正寻求购买。
Well, there's no big boats here. There's no big boats. No, we're looking for a smaller boat than we used to have. Something less trouble.
这种想法似乎是，如果您不能到海外观光，那就到海上旅游。美国之音记者沃尔夫，佛州劳德戴尔堡报道。
现在的投资艺术品不再遥不可及，任何人都可以参与著名画作的投资，成为小额投资者。来看美国之音记者兰斯基的报道。
投资艺术品是许多人可望而不可及的事，但多亏了纽约的一家叫做大师作品的初创公司，这种情况可能永远的改变了。
Very simply, investors can come to our website. They can view different works of art that we have available for investment, and they can invest amounts as small as $500 or as large as thousands of dollars, in a particular painting.
收藏家林恩2017年创办了名为“大师作品”的初创公司。他说，部分所有权的概念给人们带来许多从前只有超级富豪才有的机会，这是市场新趋势的一部分，叫做奢侈品民主化。但林说，他的部分工作是为照顾没有那么多钱的投资者。
For example, many people use IRA or retirement accounts to invest in these paintings. So we want to make sure that the returns are as predictable as possible and the risk is reasonable.
当一幅名作拍卖给一个收藏家，他通常会从公众视野中消失。但如果是部分所有权，这个艺术品将陆续在不同的博物馆巡回展出。
We like the idea of once we.Purchase these paintings and then sell them off to investors to reloan them out to museums so they can be seen in the public.
新冠病毒引起的隔离扩大了投资者对艺术品的胃口。从三月中旬大流行病冲击美国以来，大师作品公司每个月吸引超过10000名新的投资者。在此期间，人们已经在15件世界级的大师作品上投资超过$3000万，而在过去2年，仅购得5件艺术品。
In Masterworks, our perspective has been that art is an uncorrelated asset class, meaning that it doesn't necessarily go in the same direction as the stock market or other asset classes. So what we've seen with COVID is that although there's been a large decrease in the total volume of sales by roughly half, we've actually seen art prices increase.And I think in June alone, we saw 22 artists that set price records.
石油和黄金价格以及公司股份都容易随着世界形势和政局变化而波动。但面对世界级的大师作品，即使是道琼斯指数也无可奈何。美国之音记者兰斯基，纽约报道。
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。在明天的节目里，我们将关注 RCEP 区域全面经济伙伴关系协定。这份协定在经济、贸易和外交层面具有怎样的意义？美国的新一届政府又可能采取怎样的行动来调整亚太战略？欢迎您关注明天的节目，并且通过美国之音网站、YouTube 和社交媒体平台与我们进行互动。感谢您收看今天的美国观察，我们下次再见。
International Criminal Court has not functioned as it's supposed to function. It's supposed to be a court of last resort, and we have already dealt with the investigations that are pertinent to our personnel. It is politicized, it is corrupt. We have evidence of that. And this is not what the court is supposed to be doing. It has a grand total of 4 convictions on the substantive crimes of the Rome Statute, one of which is on appeal. The U.S. has done far more than what this court has done along these lines. We are for the same ideals, but we're